drops straight back to throw. Steps up, gets hit by Canty. Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again, trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. As the gentleman said, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino with you for the next hour till 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Coming to you live from the New York Giants facility.
10:30 p.m., huh? I wish I was
Oh,
with
did
you
I
all
say
day.
P.m.?
But we got to go in an
I'm
hour.
I'm sorry. I still
That's
haven't
okay.
See this? My coffee is sitting right here, and I have yet to had one sip yet.
That's not good.
I know. You have makeup on already, Paul.
Yeah, because we got a lot to do, and I've got a lot to get to later on. So I already got it done.
I'm going to sit here doing a radio show with you and makeup on?
Well, here's the deal.
Really?
I think
Paul Dottino just lost his man card today.
Crud.
Really? Really? Anyway, Paul Dottino and Anita Marks coming to you live from the Giants facility. A lot going on today.
At least I look human.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people think I look like Godzilla when I get up in the morning.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Okay.
So the Giants back at it again today. Good day of practice yesterday from what we understood. Guys were running around. The intensity level was high. It was actually, Paul, a good atmosphere. You and I were both here yesterday. Players had really a very positive attitude. Even I was really surprised. Hopefully folks out there listening did tune in to the Tom Coughlin press conference. And he was somewhat chummy. So, you know, it just I was pretty surprised by the feel and the atmosphere here yesterday. Were you?
Yeah, I think that Tom decided that the best approach here was going to be energized, spark these guys, because they had heard enough of negativity since the game on Sunday. I mean, let's face it, Anita, how many times can you kick that dead horse before it just becomes so mundane you're not going to do any good anymore? And so I suspect that Tom, on purpose, decided, hey, you know what? I'm just going to throw caution to the wind, and I'm going to be chipper, and I'm going to have fun, and I'm going to be energetic, and I'm going to have a little exchange with the writers and be a little goofy. And look, who knows if it's going to work, but I do think his approach of lightening the atmosphere just a bit around here was probably a good idea.
201-939-4513 is the phone number if you want to get in. We've already got a full bank of calls, and why not? Giants fans hosted the show yesterday, Big Blue Hits, live with Roman Oben. We fielded a lot of calls.
From a lot of different states.
Yes. North Dakota. How about that?
Wow.
Thank you for your participation.
Well, there are Anita Marks fans everywhere.
Well, no. It's not about Anita Marks fans. It's about Big Blue Nation. And fans are very concerned right now. This team is 0-3, getting ready to face a 3-0 team on the road away at Arrowhead, which is arguably one of the most difficult venues to play at, Paul. So.
Yeah.
Also, all things social media here with the Giants. Our staff here with social media is one of the best in the NFL with all the 32 teams. You can follow us at Giants. Also, hashtag Giants Chat. We monitor Twitter throughout the show, and we bring you all the comments throughout. So we welcome you. We really love the audience participation. That's really what we're here for. We're here for Big Blue Nation. So again, 201-939-4513. Also, one quick note before we do head out to the calls, and that is John Connor. That was the big news yesterday. Unfortunately, the hippo, Henry Hanoski, was placed on IR. He has a broken shoulder, right?
Yeah, that's painful. Yeah. That is really painful.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I this might be TMI, but when I was a kid, I used to love to be towed around the neighborhood on my skateboard, and I would tie a rope to a friend's bike.
I've seen people do that.
Yeah, because I was one of those little tomboys that just, you know, with, yeah. So, and we had crashed. I went flying. I broke my collarbone. And I probably, yeah, I was about maybe 9. And that was probably the most painful. You know, I've had 7 knee surgeries. I'm a hot mess. But it was probably the most painful. So, yeah, anything in the collarbone, shoulder area is pretty damn painful.
And understand this. What do fullbacks lead with?
Their shoulder.
not good.
No, he's probably going to have a special shoulder pad made once he does return to the NFL, and hopefully will continue to have a successful career. But regardless, the big news is the addition of John Connor, the fullback that came in. I had an opportunity to talk to him yesterday. What a nice guy. What a really nice young man. Really excited to be here. Really thankful and grateful for this opportunity. If anybody did tune in to Hard Knocks, of course, they highlighted the Cincinnati Bengals team. He tried to make that team. It was a very difficult decision when they had to narrow down who they were going to let go. Hugh Jackson, who oversees the running backs, it was a difficult decision. He really wanted to keep him, but he could not. They went with somebody else. And so he said, you know, he's just grateful to have this opportunity, especially with an organization like the Giants. And I think he's going to help them out a lot, Paul. What did you see from John Connor at practice yesterday?
Well, he looks like he's very studious, very eager to learn, and understands that he's going to have to learn very quickly to be able to help this team in Kansas City on Sunday. I will tell you, Anita, and maybe you can second this for me, what I heard from the people out in Cincinnati is that Connor doesn't play special teams, and the younger fullback that they wound up keeping over him played on the special teams units, and that kind of was the difference there as to why they let him go. It wasn't so much that he couldn't play, but their numbers just didn't fit.
Yeah, it was one of those guys that, and we talked about it as right before the season it started, Paul. Remember, we were kind of like, all right, well, who's staying, who's going, who's staying? And he was one of those guys on the line, on the border between can he contribute on special teams or not? And that's why they made the decision. So anyway, someone else's trash is another man's treasure. Excited that he's a part of the New York Football Giants organization. Excited to see what he can do for this organization on Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs.
And quite frankly, he's a guy who likes to do the dirty work. He's not afraid to just get his helmet in there and get his shoulder in there. And he doesn't need the ball. I mean, what's he got, like 80 rushing yards in three NFL seasons, only a couple of touchdowns? He's not a headline-hungry cat, you know. He's out there to do the dirty work and to help guys behind him find rushing lanes. And that's exactly what the Giants need. So let's hope it works.
201-939-4513. Also, do we have Eric? We do. All right, well, let's kick it off because we do want to hear from our fans. But who better to hear from to kick it off than Eric Kennedy, owner of Big Blue Interactive, one of the best Giants fan sites out there. And he joins us every Thursday to kind of give us a sense of how the fans are feeling right now, especially the upcoming match against the Kansas City Chiefs. So let's bring on Eric. Eric, welcome to the show. And I can only imagine with this Giants team sitting at 0-3 and the concern and the worry of Giants fans, I'm sure that Big Blue Interactive has just been blowing up all week.
Yeah, it has. I think we picked a bad year to start this little team, this project with BBI coming on your show. Yeah, fans are pretty upset, as you can imagine. And I think really, the heart of this is they're 1-6 in their one in five in their last six games going back to last year, and three of those losses, not counting the Denver game, which was competitive through the third quarter. Three of those losses have been blowouts. It's like the Giants didn't even show up. And I imagine Tom Coughlin and Jerry Reese, the offseason moves that they had made, were specifically designed to see that games like occurred late last year against the Ravens, against the Falcons, didn't happen again. And I think we're all shocked that a 0-2 desperate Giants team went down to Carolina and basically didn't show up in a game that they had to have against a beat up and quite frankly not a very good football team. They have talent, but they were an old 0-2 team themselves, incredibly beat up in the secondary. And if you told anybody that the Giants were going to lose 38-0 to the Carolina Panthers, they would have thought you were crazy. I think fans could see them losing that game, but not the way that they did. And the Giants fans that went to that game, that were at that stadium, said the Giants bench the entire game was lifeless. It was like they didn't care. So that's what's most concerning right now. So there's a lot of blame being thrown around to everybody by fans. There are favorites in terms of who deserves most of the blame, but everyone's pretty ticked off right now. And it's amazing that three games into the season, I would say the bulk of the fans have already written off this season, which is astounding to me, but that's the mindset right now.
Well, Eric, the Giants are not going to have any friends in the stands in Kansas City. I've been out there before, and that place is hog wild, crazy for their Chiefs. And, if there are a handful of blue jerseys in the crowd, that's going to be a lot. So what is the sense of any optimism at all that people can try to cling to on your site? Are there any fans out there who are saying, hey, wait a minute, there are some things here that we might be able to sink our teeth into so that the fan base doesn't jump off a bridge?
Well, I think there are always the diehards and the very loyal fans that, you know, they're not, this season just started, so they're not really completely ready to hang up or give up all hope on this. So fans do realize we have Eli Manning, we have Victor Cruz, we have Hakeem Nicks, we have Ruben Randle, we have David Wilson, we have some tools to throw to run with on offense, but the concerns are on the offensive line. Defensively, there's concerns there still too, as well, with the defensive line. Still, it's more the defensive end still not really playing up to the amount of resources that the Giants have dedicated to that in terms of draft picks and salary cap space and so forth. But you know, I think some fans still think that there's an opportunity here if they can fight, if the team will have a little bit of pride and have some fight in them, because the division. The division and the NFC as a whole isn't all that impressive, and everyone knows that right now that Dallas is in first place, but they're only I guess with the head to head loss, but they're 2.5 ahead right now with the Giants, but that they could catch them with 13 games to play. So there are fans that haven't completely written this off. What's disturbing again to most fans is this: It's not that the Giants lost to the Panthers, which is disturbing enough. It's the way that they lost to the Panthers. So I think most people are curious to see, and it sounds like the Giant players there are, based on their comments yesterday, the Giant players are curious to see how they're going to respond in Kansas City. How are they going to show up? When adversity strikes in Kansas City, and it will, there'll be a turnover, there'll be a sack, something will happen, though Kansas City will score. How will the Giants players respond? Will they fight, or will they fold up their tents again? I think there are some fans that are hoping that the Giants will come out with the win. But I'll tell you, I haven't seen it this negative this in quite some time on the Giants site. It's we've been around since 1995, the Dan Reeves era, and it's approaching that the 96 season in terms of pessimism right now.
Again, Eric Kennedy joining us, owner of Big Blue Interactive, one of the best fan sites. If you're not a part of it, well, you need to become one. Eric, for the past, a week now, we've been fielding a lot of calls with fans pretty disappointed with Eli Manning. And it's kind of frustrating for Paul and I, as well as Roman Oben and a number of folks here, because you have to look at the big picture, and you have to look and see what Eli Manning is up against, and the fact that there's no rushing attack here. David Wilson obviously is not fitting the bill. I don't know what the deal is with Brandon Jacobs. Maybe there were some hefty expectations that he would come in and immediately contribute. That hasn't happened. So this offense is one-dimensional. So what does that mean? Defenses are playing the pass. On top of that, his offensive line is not protecting him. I mean, to give up 7 sacks, 6 within the first 17 minutes of the game against the Carolina Panthers, why do you feel, first of all, first question is, are you getting a lot of feedback and a lot of anger and resentment from fans towards Eli Manning for his performance? That's question number one. And number two is, are you just as surprised as we are that the fans aren't seeing kind of the big picture here and realizing what Eli Manning is up against each and every week?
No, I don't think they're on the site. They're really targeting Eli. We actually ran a poll. We're running a poll right now on the site in terms of who deserves most of the responsibility, and Eli is way down at the bottom of the list right now.
Eric, I'm surprised to hear you say that, because the response that we're getting here at the facility is really very unfairly jaded toward Eli, and I'm catching a lot of heat myself because, as you know, I'm one of Eli's biggest backers, and it's just hard for me to imagine that folks aren't seeing this as clearly as we are, but you're telling me something different because of your poll.
Yeah, the poll, I mean, we've got almost 1,600 votes already right now, and only 30 people are blaming Eli.
Wow.
I've seen the opposite on, I saw something on an ESPN site where they were interviewing fans in the street, and almost every one of them said Eli, which left me scratching my head. as you said, if you're laying on your back 6 times through the early to the second quarter, it's hard to get a pass off. The interesting thing right now, I think, is the luster, the one who's taken the biggest hits this week, the guy who's really a lot of has lost a lot of luster with fans is Jerry Reese. I've seen more anti-Jerry Reese posts this week than anything else, and it's you know, I think the frustration level with the situation at linebacker over the years has finally reached its peak, and then the condition of the offensive line. Again, we all know that there are injuries in football and all that, but there's a concern that, look, the Giants have dedicated a lot of resources on the offensive line in terms of salary cap space with David Boss, with Chris Snee, with David Deal, even though he took a pay cut, with Will Beattie and so forth. They're spending a lot of money for an offensive line that, quite frankly, is playing like the worst in the league. There's very little depth that appears on the offensive line as well, too. And, you know, there's a lot of frustration there has been for the last few years with Chris Snee, and everyone knows he's hurt, but he doesn't seem to be playing very well, not just this year, but this goes back the last couple of years. David Boss hasn't been playing up to his contract. So the guy that's been taking a lot of hits is Jerry Reese, and I don't think it's really so much Eli Manning, at least on my site. Again, you're always going to get people who blame the quarterback because it's easy to blame the figurehead for the team, which is often the quarterback, obviously. So you always see criticism of the quarterback. You always see criticism of the coaching staff, and that's never changed. But it's Jerry Reese that is getting hits that I've never seen him get criticism like this before.
Hey, Eric, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time. Look forward to your segment each and every Thursday.
All right.
Have fun in Kansas City.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. A lot of barbecue in Kansas City. That's what Kansas City is known for, jazz and barbecue.
And steaks.
Okay. 201-939
okay.
4513. And I know we have a lot of callers on, and they've been on for quite a while. We appreciate your patience. Let's kick it off with Mark in New York. Mark, welcome.
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
Yeah, I have a couple of quick things I wanted to add on. Anita, you were totally right yesterday when you were saying that Eli needs a good O-line. There's nothing I expect Eli to do if he's playing it on his back all the time. I love that Eli has a good attitude about the situation, even though the situation isn't where it needs to be. He's not complaining about the poor O-line or the running passing game. I feel like the NFL is a copycat league. I feel like it's like a shark in the water, the blood, when they realize that you cannot run the ball and that you have no option but to pass. You're just going to pin their ears back and guard our weapons, and it's going to be an issue. I do understand the Jerry Reese situation where people are trying to, you know, aim at him and take shots. But really, what he did last year, this is just my opinion, what he did last year, this offseason, where he grabbed all these defensive people to help the defense not be last, I felt was very important. But I knew there would be three things that I thought was vanilla. I was thinking the O-line, the linebacker, and the running back situation. Didn't know which one would be more vanilla. Apparently, it's the O-line. Nobody's going to get respect for that. I always looked at Eli maybe making the Hall of Fame one day, but without another ring, I don't think that would be possible. I think he's the Rodney Dangerfield of the NFL. He's won two rings. He's getting no respect for it. When Eli plays great, this is definitely for you, Paul. This is all of this, what I'm saying, definitely came from yesterday. When you was talking about how Eli takes a lot of criticism, I believe he's a good player, but I believe haters keep quiet on Eli when he's playing great. Soon as he plays bad, it doesn't matter. You can have 9 great games, 1 bad. Haters come out to let you know about Eli. I have no idea why you don't pat a man on the back for doing good. I mean, if you're going to kick him while he's down, you should praise him while he's up. My last comment so I can enjoy the show. I believe in the Giants' defense, and I believe in the offensive weapons, but with no O-line, I have to say I'm not really sure what the offensive productivity is going to be. And my only two questions, especially to you, Paul, because, you know, I defend Eli, so Eli grew on me. In the very beginning, I was skeptical, but
I didn't want him here. You know that? I didn't want him here. I was happy with Kerry Collins. And I thought that Big Ben was the best quarterback coming out of that draft.
You know what, sir? I had my revelations about Rivers. I mean, like, you know, but I mean, like, I don't want to take up all the time. I know we got other
We do have other guys. Go ahead. What was the question you wanted to just throw at me?
Who is the in the NFC, who has more playoff wins as an active quarterback than Eli Manning? Who has more success, like active right now? And
I don't know that anybody does.
Yeah, I don't think either. But like, you don't.
Rodgers has a bunch of them, but I don't think he's got more than Eli.
And as I walk off this phone, I would like to also say, with no running game and no pass protection, how do the Giants this year expect to put points up? Because I know we're giving up 38, but I'm not putting that on the defense.
I hear you. Thanks so much for the call. Anita, it's so ironic. You and I have spent a lot of time this year going into this season talking about Eli, Nix, Cruz, Myers, Wilson, Murphy, Randall, all of these weapons, which should make this offense more explosive than a carton of TNT. And yet, with the offensive line crumbling like it is, all of those explosives might as well be sitting out in the rain because they're not going off. It stinks.
Let's continue with our calls. Again, we're only with you for the next 30 minutes, so I just want to make sure that we get everybody in. We got Jerry calling in from Boca Raton. Jerry, welcome.
Good morning, Anita. Good morning, Paul.
Hi.
Just wanted to reinforce a couple of things from yesterday. I wasn't able to get in. Look, you guys have it absolutely correct, both of you. You have explained that the offensive line is just simply overmatched. The real fear here is a devastating injury to Eli. Eric Kennedy is correct. We as fans, I personally have no expectation for the rest of the season because I'm a pragmatist, and a lot of fans are pragmatists. They can see it. If you build a house, you have to build it on a strong foundation. Doesn't matter how good the house is. If it's built on sand, it's going to blow away. It's the same thing with the football team. The offensive line has to be solid. Without a solid line, you have nothing. And that's the problem with the Giants. It's not Eli. It's the offensive line. People who don't understand football blame Eli. Their criticism needs to be put in that light. The Giants have great skill position players. You're right, absolutely, Paul. But they're not going anywhere unless they can somehow fix the line. And when these guys go one-to-one against other players that are superior to them, either because of the skill that they've developed or their size, they're going to overmatch, the line is going to be breached, and Eli's going to get hurt. I'd rather see them just start pulling Eli quickly when you can see that the game is not going well. Protect him for next year. We're not going anywhere this year. We could lose most of our games this year and maybe be in a position to draft high. But that's the greatest hope that we have at this point because we're realists. And unless we see something different or somebody comes back or Deal somehow gets back in and makes a difference in how the line works and gets things to gel and people develop, we're not going anywhere. And that's my comment.
Well, thanks so much for the phone call.
a few things. In looking at the schedule, and this is something that Paul and I discussed at length yesterday, and that is, as we know, the Giants are sitting at 0-3. Unless we see something different in the game, and we won't know. I mean, you know, as you all know, Paul and I are here at the facility. I'm here Wednesday and Thursday. Paul's here Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. What we're seeing is a good attitude. We're seeing guys flying around at practice, more intensity at practice. But the big question is, will that transcend into the game against Kansas City? We won't know till game time. But I'm not confident that the Giants win this week at Kansas City. I'm just not. Then they come back home and they're hosting Philadelphia. Well, Michael Vick, Chip Kelly, this new offense, you know, they're going to be geeked up to play here at MetLife Stadium against the Giants. Especially if the Giants start the season 0-4. And this is a new offense. I think it's going to be a really big challenge for Perry Fuel and this defense to stop Michael Vick and all the talent and weapons that they have on that team. Then they have to head to Chicago and take on the Chicago Bears away at Chicago at Soldier Field. And even though their defense might not be that electric, unbelievable Bears defense we've seen years in and years out, they're still solid. But the big key with the Chicago Bears, Paul, is that they've improved on offense. Mark Trestman and what he's done for Jay Cutler has been tremendous this year. Matt Forte is having a great season. Brandon Marshall is playing with only one hip, and he's delivering. And they have Martellus Bennett, who, believe it or not, the way the Chicago Bears are utilizing him, he's having a good season so far. So I'm worried that this team is going to start 0-6. That is a realization. As difficult as that is for me to say, it is a realization that that very well could happen.
The evidence is mounting in the wrong direction. And quite frankly, the other detour that you didn't mention about Chicago, it's a short week. Road teams going out to that Thursday night football game usually are at a little bit of a disadvantage to begin with.
Right.
And now you're talking about a Chicago team that is much better and obviously is going to be ready for the Giants. I don't think there's any question about that. They've got to win these games. Somehow they've got to beat Kansas City and Philadelphia, because I don't think the odds are going to be too good for them going into Chicago unless something happens to the Bears in the meantime. But I understand. I mean, the evidence is all pointing in the wrong direction right now. And until that evidence changes or turns around, it is very hard to be optimistic.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Kendall in New Brunswick. Kendall, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. You're on with Paul Dottino and Anita Marks.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
I listened yesterday to your guys' one on the podcast last night, and if I hear any more about how this is Eli's fault or that he needs to be reprimanded, like you, Paul, I don't have a stomach for it. I think that I might puke.
Fair, and I've said this before, he's not playing very well, but he is really a victim of collateral damage. All of these things that have combined to work against him have obviously affected his play. And I'm not going to sit here and say that Eli is playing great, because he's not. Please, I don't want to give him a free pass. He's not playing very well. But there are certainly so many factors that contribute to that that I'm not going to sit here and throw stones at this guy.
Okay, we're averaging 3.667 sacks per game, because we've got 11 divided by 3.
Yeah.
The team in history is the Philadelphia Eagles in 1986. They gave up a record of 104 sacks, and they gave up 3 sacks in every game of that. So we're on track right now to give up 58 sacks this year, and last year we gave up 19.
That's
sacks.
Correct. You know what Eli's career high is? Do you know?
No, 30. I don't know what his
30.
So he's on track to double his career time that he's on the ground eating turf. It's abundantly clear to me that you can't throw the ball when you're sitting on your bum. And when you do throw the ball and you're not comfortable throwing the ball, you're not going to throw it where you want to throw it. You're not going to be confident. So the sacks and the lack of protection are leading to the interceptions. Why are you reprimanding him for something that's not his fault when he's on the ground? Like, I don't understand why people can't make that connection. And we can't run.
I'm with you on this. We obviously agree. I don't want to waste any more time talking about Eli. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sure you got something else. You sound like a very intelligent fan. I know you have other stuff. You're seconding our motion, and I appreciate that. And I think it's admirable that you understand what's going on, and I'm grateful for that. Any other questions?
Well, we all talk about winning a game and winning streaks and winning this. What I want to see is I want them to, like, when I played hockey, it was all about win your shift, right?
Yeah.
You can't, and I've been in sales for 20 years. If you look at your sales targets, you can't get there from here. You have to look at what are you going to do today. So what I want to see on Sunday is I want to see them win a series. I want to see them win a quarter. I want to see them win a half. That's how you build it. You can't look at the next 16 games. You got to look at it. When you eat an elephant, you have to start with one bite. And the one bite is going to be, how are they going to react on that first defensive stand and that first offensive play? Because what you were talking about yesterday, too, about how winning is contagious, it's exactly the same thing. Like, to get on a run, it's got to start with one. So my comment is, I want to see one play, one series.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we need to go.
I understand that, and I appreciate the phone call. And to build off of that, Anita, you will recall yesterday Tom Coughlin was talking about, or maybe it was Monday, how when they had the holding penalty that called back the David Wilson touchdown, it was on Will Beatty. And then, of course, the Giants finished the drive by missing a Josh Brown 38-yard field goal wide left, and a game that could have been 7-7 or 7-3 was still 7-0. And I have to tell you, from that point forward, there was no air in that balloon whatsoever. I don't know if the Giants won even one play the rest of the game after that. They need something to feel good about.
I mean, we've talked about this as well, and I know that a few of the players have made comments in regard to where this team, where the mentality is, where the fighting the dog is with this team, where the intensity level is when the game starts. To me, more so than what the offensive line is going to look like, which, by the way, why don't you share with some of our listeners out there kind of what you saw at practice yesterday when the media was available to kind of watch practice. And what are you anticipating this offensive line to look like? I mean, is there hope that David Deal is going to play? If he does, what can we expect from him? What's the latest with the offensive line, Paul?
Well, Deal's got an apparatus that they fitted on his hand. You'll recall he had the hand surgery. He had some kind of disconnect in his thumb during the middle of the preseason. They said it would take him 6 weeks or so to be able to get back, and I think they're actually a week early, if I'm not mistaken, trying to get him back onto the field with this apparatus. It's kind of like in effect, he's almost got like a soft club hand right now. And so he did some work yesterday, and it looked like he did okay. You know, not great, obviously, because he still has limited use of the hand, but it looked like he had some capabilities out there. So I do think there's a possibility that he could help the Giants at guard. I don't think he's a very competent NFL tackle at this point in his career. I think that ship has kind of sailed. But usually you can milk another year out of a guy if he's capable of playing guard by moving him inside. And so I would think over the next 2 days, we will probably see much more of David Deal at practice to see if Coach Coughlin can have enough confidence in him to get him to play in the game on Sunday. I would assume that Chris Snee, who did not practice yesterday, and probably, I'm going to say, won't practice the rest of the week, I'm going to guess that Snee plays on Sunday. He's got a very badly injured hip, but I'm going to assume he plays on Sunday, and I'm going to say that Deal's best bet to get into this game is probably going to be at left guard, which would then mean Kevin Booth would slide to center. The other thing the Giants certainly have the opportunity to do at practice is work Jim Cordell at center as well, because that's his natural position and he has played it before, but he's been very up and down in recent times with his results. But that's the kind of tweaking that Tom Coughlin has to consider as he moves forward and then has to make a judgment as to, well, do we stay the course? It's not working. Do we just keep doing what we're doing? Or do we try to tweak and hope that we get even an inch and a half of improvement? Because they need it.
Right. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Steve in Staten Island. Steve, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Anita. Good morning, Paul. How are you today?
Hi.
All right, listen, I'll talk fast because I know you got a lot of callers. But, yeah, I fall in that bracket as one of your most passionate Giant fans, okay? And with that being said, I don't give up on this team until I pick up that paper and it says mathematically eliminated.
Right.
So now that I got that off my chest, I got one message for the New York Football Giant players. Guys, you put on that jersey, one of the most storied jerseys in all of professional football, one of the most historic teams you play for, next to a Yankee jersey in this city of New York, that jersey, that blue jersey is recognized. You go out there Sunday and you play New York football, Giants football, smash mouth, ball control, clock control. I want to see helmets come flying off the Chiefs' heads on the defensive side of the ball. I want to see guys do things that they haven't done in the first 3 weeks. Your season's not over. You do it for the Maras, you do it for the Tishes, and you do it for your loyal fan base, your true blue Giant fans. Because this team, I believe in my heart, is going to turn it around, and they're going to right this ship, and it is never over, as far as I'm concerned, until it says mathematically eliminated. I believe in this team. I have confidence in this team. I live and die with this team. I'm a Giant fan since I can walk. And as far as I'm concerned, like I told my wife, I drop dead, you bury me in my Lawrence Taylor jersey. That's how I explain it. I'm a passionate fan, and I think these guys are going to represent football. They're going to leave a message on Sunday to the other teams. The New York football Giants are back, and this is what it's about. Let's go Big Blue. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Hey, great call. I love it. You just pumped me up a little bit here on the show as I get ready for my day here. But this is what the problem is, Paul. This is what the issue is. You know, he just talked about being buried in his LT jersey. There's not a lot of LT mentality and fight and swagger here on this team right now. There's just not. I mean, you know, yes, you have Antrell Roll, and he's, thank goodness, he was appointed captain this season, because he's the one in that locker room that's getting these guys kind of geeked up to really attack the Kansas City Chiefs this coming Sunday. The loss of Michael Boley, and I'm not talking about what a player brings to the Giants on the field. I'm talking about a swagger, a meanness, help me out here, Paul.
A willingness to punch somebody back in the mouth when they spit on you.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much. Ahmad Bradshaw's not on this team anymore. That is what Ahmad Bradshaw brought to this team in that locker room. Michael Boley, he's on no team right now. That's what he brought to this locker room. You know, one of my favorite Giants in the 4 years that I was here, Deion Grant. I can't say enough wonderful things about that guy and what he meant to this organization, this team, not only as a player but as a leader in that locker room. He's not on this team anymore. These are the kind of guys that bring that swagger, bring that mentality, bring that let's punch him in the face attitude.
I'll tell you what.
I look around.
Michael Strahan had some of that too in him.
Oh, of course he did. But now I'm looking around this locker room. Antrell Roll's really it. You tell me who
Brandon
else.
Brandon Jacobs has that, but he's only been here a week and a half, and it's hard for him to throw that right back into the fire. But he's got to be able to do that for this offense because there's nobody else there. And I agree with you. You know, the only thing I will say, and this goes back a little bit to what Eric Kennedy was talking about from BBI. You know, the sky is falling, doom, doom, doom everywhere. Okay, I'm going to take you back to 1994, Dan Reeves' second year with the Giants. They start off the season 3-0 and then go on a 7-game losing streak. And I mean, they lose to some bad teams during that streak, and they can't score worth a darn. Dave Brown's the quarterback, and the Giants are just going nowhere. And then suddenly, somehow, someway, they go on a 6-game winning streak to close the season. So after losing 7 in a row, they win 6 in a row. And nobody could have seen that coming. And they finished the season at 9-7, lost out on a tiebreaker the last day of the year to the Chicago Bears, and did not make the playoffs. The point that I'm making, and I'm not saying that these teams are similar at all because the talent is obviously not the same. But the point is, I am sure that every Giants fan who remembers that 1994 season, if you go back to the middle of that 6-game or 7-game losing streak, I'm sure you thought that this team was about to fall apart and even get kicked out of the NFL because they were so dreadful, so bad, so miserable. There was no hope that they were ever even going to win a half or a quarter, never mind a game. And I sense you get that feeling right now at 0-3. Well, somehow, that team turned it around and won 6 in a row to finish out the season and had a winning record. So what I'm saying to you folks, we call the 95 season, and even though things look really bad right now and the evidence before us is terrible, the arrow is certainly going in the wrong direction. All I'm going to say is I've seen crazier things happen before, and for the Giants to turn it around and win a bunch of games here in the middle or second part of their schedule is certainly something that I am not going to discount, because there is a lot more talent on this team than there was on the 95 team. So if that's all you have to cling to, if that's the only hope that you have when you get up Sunday morning and get ready for this game against the Kansas City Chiefs, then by all means, cling to it. Because all of this gloom and doom stuff is really sending me into a bad place. I'm tired of hearing it.
All right, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, we've got 15 minutes and a boatload of calls, so I'm going to try to rip through them. 201-939-4513. We have Mike in New York. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi.
Sorry I don't have any fire and brimstone for you, but I'm actually just a little more concerned in reality that Houston, Dontari Poe, Tom Bolley, these guys are good. I mean, this team is confident. We need to focus on beating them, just straight up beating them. And I think we're going to show up. It's not going to be like next week, but I mean, last week, sorry. But do you really see Houston not having an easy time with Poe and Snee? And the other thing is, I've been reading about this rumor that the Lions are trying to shop Hakeem Nicks. And have you heard anything about
somebody
that?
In Detroit put up on a web blog that the Lions are desperate for a number two receiver. Burleson obviously hurt broke his arm because
he was
in a car wreck.
No, he was on his way home from picking up pizza, and he had the pizza box in the front seat, and I guess he'd made a turn in the pizza box. Hey, we've all been there. The pizza box starts sliding, and he reaches over to try to save it. And then he crashed his car and he broke his arm. But keep in mind, they have Ryan Broyles, who's stepping up. He's coming off of ACL injury, and this very well could be a really big game for him. So, but this is the first I'm hearing this.
Yeah, a reporter in Detroit threw out the name of, couldn't the Lions try to make a deal to get a true number two, and Hakeem Nicks will be a perfect target because his contract runs out at the end of the year. The Giants probably aren't going to be able to pay him. They're not going to be able to keep him. Wouldn't they want to make a deal for him and get rid of him now? And it was a speculative web posting by one of the reporters in Detroit.
I think it's more likely that they go after Josh Gordon, wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, there were reports last week that Michael Lombardi, who's now the general manager over there, is looking to clean house. Try to stockpile as many picks as he can to get ready for the 2014 draft, because there's a ton of especially offensive talent that is coming out of college football this coming draft. So I think that's a more likely scenario and situation that they go after Josh Gordon, who I'm a huge fan of.
Yeah, he could play. And I think the Titans are probably out of patience with Kenny Britt too, don't you think? He could probably be had for a song.
Kenny Britt is not meshing well with that organization, and also reports today that he's got a broken rib.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, let's go to Keith in New York. Keith, welcome.
Hey, guys. Unlike the caller before last, and like the last caller, I don't have any positivity. As a Giants fan, I've been humbled. We've got to really just stop making excuses and fooling ourselves, or to look at other quarterbacks differently. Paul, you posed the question of whether we would rather have Eli or Phillip Rivers or Tony Romo. Right at this moment, I don't really want to dump on Eli any much more than what's been done, but let's be honest here. Other quarterbacks have done more with less. Let's say Romo hasn't had an offensive line for God knows how long, but in the last 2 years, he's had them in the hunt for the NFC East in the last game 2 years straight. And as far as everyone wants to say, well, Eli's got two Super Bowls, lesser quality quarterbacks have won the Super Bowl. Especially with the year.
Okay, I hate to cut you off, but you know, here's the thing that you got to remember. 2 years ago, when the Giants won the Super Bowl, they had like the worst running game in the league. That was all on Eli. You want to talk about pressure? You want to talk about putting a team on his shoulders? That's what he did. So don't tell me about how he had everything perfect and it was all lined up for him to win that Lombardi Trophy. That trophy 2 years ago was done without the semblance of a very good running game. It was so bad that most NFL old-timers said, how in the world did the Giants expect to contend for the Super Bowl? They don't have that running game that all champions are supposed to have. They'll never make it to the Super Bowl, never mind win it. And what did Eli do? He got it done. Come on, you got to be fair about this. And then the other thing I would say, too, you're talking about Tony Romo. How many postseason wins does he have?
Well, that's the biggest knock on Tony Romo, is that he's a great regular season quarterback.
Sure.
He puts up great stat numbers. But when the game, is on the line, for whatever reason, he doesn't deliver, whether it's an interception, a fumble. I mean, heck, even his head coach, Jason Garrett, at that one point in time, didn't have enough confidence in him. To move the ball down the field, possibly put up seven.
How about the owner, too?
Went for a field goal. The owner hired a Brinks truck, backed him up into his garage, and paid him a boatload of money. This isn't the owner. What do you mean the owner?
The owner, at times, has not had confidence in
him.
He
paid him a boatload of money.
He's
an idiot.
That's why.
Well, why would he do that if he didn't have confidence in his quarterback? I disagree with that.
He's done that in the past.
I think his coaching staff doesn't have faith in him. I think his owner does. I mean, my goodness.
Well,
he's stealing money. He's stealing money from the Cowboys.
I agree with that.
Let's go to Andre in Florida. Andre, welcome.
Hi. Good morning to y'all guys. I was calling to look ahead to Sunday, but I have to get this off my chest after the last caller. I feel like y'all have been a little bit biased and a little bit
How have I been biased? I'm telling you that I'm worried.
Both of y'all, Paul,
but wait. Let me just say this. I just said that I think that the Giants are going to start 0-6. How is that biased?
Not the Giants. Can I finish? Because I feel like Paul, I feel like John, all of y'all have been a little bit biased and a little bit on both sides of the fence, because a lot of the fans have been calling in, being critical of the Giants, fans that's paying for tickets and all. Jerseys, helmets, and everything. And when they call in to be critical of the Giants, y'all so quickly to dismiss them and not hear what they have to say. Like, for the GM, the coaching staff, or Eli. The GM, I love Reese, but he's under 500 right now if you're talking about sports. He's been hitting and missing, but he's under 500. The coaching staff, Tom Coughlin, he needs to get over his old ways of trying to not play rookies. Sometimes we don't have enough practices. They have to learn by fire. I understand we have to protect Eli. The O-line, they have been doing terrible. I understand that. But y'all cannot blame the first two games on that one game on O-line. Everybody's calling in saying Eli's been throwing picks. Eli's thrown eight interceptions this season. I'm about to say, that one of them is not his fault. The first one, DeMarcus Ware, directly. Airmail, the second one. Darrell Scott, I said that's not his. The other four in those games, airmailed. The receiver was not open when he got kicked off his foot. That was Eli's fault, to be honest. That was Eli's fault. He should have not thrown that ball. And yet, skip past that. The defense, they've been playing terribly. Coaching. The coaching staff has been needed to do a better job, because I'm feeling like, all right, if we know that our offensive line is not up to par, why are we consistently doing seven-step drops or five? We need to get the ball out quicker. The offensive line is not doing that great. And towards defense, if we're getting killed, why aren't we playing more like Tampa 2? Well, we're not playing zone over the top, two-man safety, and man on everything else, so we can at least control something instead of playing that semi, we don't know what we want to do defense, that cupcake defense that Fields be playing. I don't understand it. And yeah, when fans call in and trying to give they honest opinion about it, y'all so quick to dismiss them when y'all just being biased and y'all being too silent on it. We looking from the outside in. Y'all looking from the inside out.
I have to disagree with you.
All right, we're going to let you go because you just went through the entire roster and every one of those units, and I appreciate everything that you just said. And I think if anyone has listened, at least to Anita and myself, or if you've watched our television shows, we have hit this team as hard as anybody. But what we will not do is inaccurately present facts and or bash somebody more than they need to be bashed. Now, unfortunately, and this is a fair comment, I think, on my part. Anita, slap me silly if you think I'm wrong, but I think sometimes what happens is you'll get fans who are so emotionally charged about the situation that they go overboard in either direction, either very, very pro when things are going well, or much, much too much con when things are going bad. It's just so easy to paintbrush something and say, oh, it's horrible, it stinks, it's awful, there's no hope, and just start firing darts everywhere. That's what tends to happen. You know, it's our jobs to try to sort through it all and figure out exactly where the darts need to go, or exactly where the bruises are, or where the rips are, the tears, the holes. We're not going to go through this with a broad paintbrush and just, you know, oh, Tom Coughlin, that's it, got to go. We're not going to do that. That makes no sense. That's not what we're here to do.
And, you know, I will say...
Am I wrong?
No, you're not. And you know, again, this show is for the fans. I mean, what? Why would we welcome the fans to call in, to vent, share their opinion, and then dismiss them? That does not make sense. That is not what we do here, sir. So I strongly disagree with you.
I mean, I just...
I mean, I don't...
The atomic bombs that some of the folks want to drop on the quarterback or the GM or the coach, I have to say I'm a little bored with that. I'm a little fed up with that. I just would like them to be more surgical in their attacks as opposed to just, boom, let's just blow everything up.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Ann in Washington, D.C. Ann, welcome.
Hi. Well, I'm going to be a little more surgical. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Welcome.
Okay. I'm just going to say this really quickly because I'm tired of the bashing, too. But what I will say is that, first of all, the receivers are hyped because I don't see them snatching balls out of the air. They're not physical. So I see that's why some picks happen. But this is the issue. Can I just see at least five design runs and some bootlegs to get from under that pressure? That's the issue I have. Gilbride is my issue. You know, to stop some of that pressure, let the man play. Do a little more as far as running. And I don't care. I don't want to hear about no athleticism because he's faster than Brandon Jacobs. Can I just see five runs, and that'll spark that team. Just five designed runs. That's all I'm asking for.
And I appreciate the phone call. Anita, this is something that you and I have actually talked about, and that is... there are potential tweaks that the coaching staff could do that might put these guys in some different positions that may or may not help. We don't know. But I think we agree that there are some things, small things, that could be tried. We don't get to make those decisions. But moving the pocket a little bit might be something they could try.
Well, this is a question that, just to kind of give you an idea of how the day is going to break down today, really quick, and let me call it up. So players' practice starts at what, Paul, 11:55?
Right.
Right? Practice starts at 11:55. And then players will be made available at 1:50 today.
Right.
We'll interview players. Also, offensive coordinator Kevin Gilbride and defensive coordinator Perry Fuel are made available to the media today.
Coach, at 1:45, I believe, or 1:40, we get Tom for a brief few minutes.
I'm really excited to talk to Kevin Gilbride today. And one of the questions I'm going to pose to him is, knowing that your quarterback is under distress and that the offensive line is not giving him a solid 3 seconds, and typically, on average, every quarterback in the NFL should need 3 seconds in order to have success in the NFL. Eli's not even getting that. So, with that being said, is there a plan B? We know what your game plan is in regard to how you run this offense, but is there a plan B going in knowing that the Kansas City Chiefs have 15 sacks on the season, the most sacks in the NFL? You know that they're going to pin their ears back and come after Eli Manning. Is there any change in the offensive game plan where it's a three-step drop or a quick hit? Are we going to see a little bit more dink and dunk this game than normal? Also, how much no huddle are we going to see with Eli Manning in the shotgun?
You know what's funny, Anita? So, we mentioned all week, Andy Reid, 14 years with the Eagles. He knows Kevin Gilbride. He knows Tom Coughlin. He knows Eli Manning. He knows everything about this Giants offense and defense that you could possibly know. And so this might not be a bad week to pull a few new tricks out, no?
No, I mean, it's not, but Paul, you're not listening. It's not about pulling new tricks out. It's changing the offensive game plan.
To them, it's tricks because they're old dogs.
Because the five and the seven step drop is not working for Eli Manning because he's not getting the time.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
So I'm really, really interested to hear what Kevin Gilbride has to say. Obviously, he's not going to tell us his game plan for it to be, obviously get in the hands of the Kansas City Chiefs, but just to kind of get a feel. And I think that's important. We have time for maybe one or two more calls. Let's go to Maurice in Montclair. Maurice, welcome.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
Hey, I just would like to say that I totally agree with you, Anita, that we need to give Eli that 3 seconds. And I just want to make 2 points, and you guys can shed some light, and I'll get off the line. I think that the first few weeks that us making the mistakes as far as turnovers, that's things that we can correct. But I really do think that this team, first of all, one of the points is missing a guy like Michael Boley, someone smart and that can play the run and also play the pass. And also, I think that a lot of Giants fans, a lot of guys have been saying, well, the Giants can't run the ball. They can't run the ball, so they can't pass the ball. I disagree with that. I think the X factor for this team right now is our offensive line, because if you remember in 2011, we were last in the league in rushing, and we still was able to protect Eli, and he won a lot of comeback games for us and took us to the top. So I believe if this team, and I totally agree with you, Anita, if this team does some things different and just protect Eli, we'll start to win some games, because I think the defense is okay. We're not a bad defense, but the X factor to me is the offensive line. And I don't think there's too many new pieces. I think these guys have been with each other long enough, except guys like Pew maybe. But if you guys could shed some light on that, that would be great. Thanks for taking my call.
You know, the caller makes a great point. Eli Manning, I think, between the postseason and the regular season, has 28 career fourth quarter come from behind victories. I think it's third on the active list. I think Peyton's number one, Tom Brady maybe two, and I think Eli's number three. You don't do that unless you've got something special. And it's quite clear that if the Giants' offensive line gives Eli Manning even a sporting chance to succeed, he's got enough to get it done. So I would agree with you. If there's one thing that has to change Sunday against Kansas City, and I've always said all along that the Giants are losing the battle in the trenches on both sides of the ball. But if you had to say, Paul, which one do you want to get fixed first? I'd say the offensive line. If that's the only thing that improves Sunday, it gives the Giants at least a glimmer of hope against the Chiefs. If it doesn't, I don't see how they win the game.
All right, let's take one more call, okay? And we have Kevin in Philly. Kevin, let's in the show strong, my friend.
Hey, one second. Oh, from Philly, I'm an avid Giants fan, and I just want to say, Anita, y'all get so much informative information because y'all inside. And what irks me to death is that people can call and say that y'all being biased. I don't get it to save my life. I mean, first of all, Eli doesn't get any respect. I don't care how many chips he's going to win. I don't care how many playoff games he wins. I don't care who he beat in the Super Bowl. It never matters when it comes to Eli. Eli has such a cloud over his head that no one ever puts in consideration of the division that he's in. We have one of the most competitive divisions every year. I don't care what the record says. The competition is crazy. So when you want to compare quarterbacks to say, oh, well, Aaron Rodgers is doing this, look at the division. They don't even have a top maybe two teams out of that NFC North that's competitive every year. Look at Tom Brady. His division is suspect every year. You know, it's like,
Kevin, the only thing I would say is you picked a bad year to talk about the strength of the NFC East, because it's not really good right now. But I agree with you. Over the course of Eli's career, this has been a real rock'em sock'em division, and you have really had to pay the price to play these games. And there's no doubt in my mind that it has, in many instances, toughened up the Giants and allowed them to have postseason success.
Hey, we thank everybody for tuning in and participating in the show. Really do appreciate it. I believe John Schmelk and Lance Meadow will be on tomorrow, 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. A few programming notes. Be sure to tune in a little bit later on today, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Set your alarms for Big Blue Hits Live. Paul Dottino will be hosting with Roman Oben. I will pop on for a fantasy football segment. We'll open up the phone lines if you have any fantasy football questions. And also great interview that I had with Brandon Jacobs talking about the rushing attack, the offensive line shuffle, and the addition of John Connor will air on that program as well. And you can tune into that right here on Giants.com. So enjoy the rest of your day. And John Schmelk and Lance Meadow will field your calls tomorrow.